Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. God is great. Greatly to be praised. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Praise God. We are going to have a time in the Lord tonight. We're going to put out all the stops. We're going to let this world know that there's a God here at Calvary Gospel Church. And this God is confirming His Word. I say He's confirming His Word with signs and wonders. Woo-hoo! Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. I'm going to have someone take this mic down by that lectern there. Praise God. Before we get started tonight, I just want to let you know that the Lord really impressed upon me to pray about a testimony and deliverance service. And we haven't done one of these for some time, several years actually, but the entire service is pretty much going to be people just like you and I who have been in darkness, transferred into light, people who have been healed miraculously, people who have been delivered of all kinds of afflictions. And we're believing that this message tonight is going to be preached by 9 or 10 people within the body of Christ who are living testimonies of what God can do if you believe. Hallelujah, hallelujah. There's nothing that is impossible for God. Praise the name of the Lord. You can be seated. I want to read some scripture here. this is one of the accounts of the New Testament in the book of Mark, the 16th chapter, the 14th verse. Jesus Christ appeared to the 11. Praise God. After he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not, which had seen him after he was arisen. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believed not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Oh, hallelujah. In my name they shall cast out. They shall speak with new. And they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Hallelujah. This is what we're going to be talking about tonight. We're going to let these people testify of the miraculous healing power of the living God. Mark 16:19. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. This is the scripture that I love. It said, Mark 16:20, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. As we page through the New Testament, we can see example after example of God being with the born-again believers, confirming the word with signs following. I'm just going to read a couple accounts here. Acts 3 and 9, and all the people saw the lame man, you know who that was, who was healed, walking and praising God. When people are delivered, when people are healed, when people are rose up from the dead, trust me, this town will begin to talk about what's happening at Calvary Gospel Church. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, listen to this, all the people ran together unto them in the porch. Can you imagine people running to church? A crowd of people running to church because they wanted to get a good seat. Hallelujah. They ran. Acts the 8th chapter, the 6th verse. You notice throughout the book of Acts, the signs and wonders and miracles that God did through his apostles and through his born-again saints were to let the world know where God was. Let the world know that there is a God in heaven, that this God does above and beyond that which we ask or think. The world's stuck in the bondage of thinking that only the natural world has the answers to all these problems that are facing them. Listen, it's supernatural. This is what we're looking at, a supernatural God who does supernatural things. And what happens when people see this, Acts, the 8th chapter, the 6th verse, And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies that were lame were healed. And then 8, and there was great joy in that city. There is going to be a day when there's going to be great joy in the city of Madison because of the outpouring of God's Holy Spirit here at Calvary Gospel Church. Tremendous impact. Hallelujah. I want you to know that God is still confirming his word here at Calvary Gospel Church. He's still healing. He's still raising from the dead. He's still delivering from all kinds of addictions. And praise God. Tonight, we're going to give you an opportunity to hear this. I have personally have about 6 or 7 people who are not in the church, who have various afflictions and things wrong with them. I'm going to do my dead level best to get them to download this particular message from the internet to give them hope. If you were lying in a bed and your body was filled with cancer, wouldn't it be great to hear someone who had been delivered of cancer? Wouldn't it be great to know that your addiction could be taken away by the blood of Jesus Christ? Praise God. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ is the same today, yesterday, and forever. Praise God. So the hardest thing for us to do was to choose who to testify, because I can look around here and I see miracle after miracle after miracle of the transformation of people's lives. It's just amazing. I think of the Pinexes, you know, with the miracle baby Tamara that was absolutely not supposed to live. Tamara, raise your hand, would you? Praise God. There's a miracle. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Mark, who was just up here, is a miracle. I said, Mark, where's he at? Mark Nowakowski, it was a miracle. God delivered him from a lifestyle you would not even believe. George O'Neill's is a miracle back there. He was blown up in Vietnam with a landmine or a house mine, and he miraculously wasn't killed, but it hurt him, and he became a very distraught and almost committed suicide on a mountain in Hawaii. But here he is, a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Here's what we're going to do tonight. At the end of these testimonies, we're going to ask the same people that have been delivered from all these afflictions and diseases and so on. We're going to have them come up, and we're going to ask them if they would lay hands on people who are willing to be healed, delivered, whatever God wants to do with them. If you have something going on in your body tonight or your mind tonight that you don't think that you can overcome, I'm here to tell you tonight, this is your night. If you're listening to this on the download, I want you to know these are real people. These are not actors. These are people, Calvary Gospel Church saints. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you what kind of people we have here at Calvary Gospel Church. If you look in your Bible, 1 Corinthians 6:9, the Bible says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." And such were some of you. But ye are washed by the waters of baptism. You are sanctified, set aside, holy to God. And you are justified just as if you've never sinned in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. That's the kind of people who are going to testify at this service tonight. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So I'd like to have Jason Bros come up. He's our poster boy for CIP. Jason is an amazing young man. But, you know, when Jason came here, he wasn't so amazing. You tell your story in 3 to 5 minutes. Any longer than that, we're going to unplug you.
I can keep it short and sweet. Amen. Thank you very much, Brother Thomas, for choosing me to give my testimony. The things in my life can only be explained by the glory of God. I was living a life of sin, selling drugs, doing drugs, drinking alcohol, running with gang members, things like that. And though the judge, my attorney at the time, was trying to get me out with time served, the judge said, "You're still the same kid that I saw 9 months ago, so you're going to sit for another 9. That, at the time, seemed like a curse, but it was the blessing that was allowed me to come to church. You know, it's what got me involved in the CIP program. It allowed me to get involved with people like the Hawks and the Canops. Brother Tim taught me my first Bible study. Audrey picked me up for church every Wednesday night. She'd drive 10, 15, 20, whatever miles to come and pick me up from work. It didn't matter. It's the love of people like that. And there's so many more people like the Hawks and the Canops in this church. I could go on for days giving names of people that have blessed me and gone out of their way for me. I was working for a company out in Sauk City. I was laid off for 3 months. The Lord put it upon my heart to start my own business in quite possibly the worst economy that the country's ever seen. And I can't tell you the financial blessings He's poured out upon my life, upon my family, my wife and I. The list goes on. I can't tell you how many amazing people I've met, customers of mine. You know, I'm able to have Carl Grant working with me now. I'm able to keep my man busy. He's going through a rough time financially, and I said, you know what, come work with me. I got a couple weeks worth of work for you, at least, and that was, what, 2.5, 3, 4 months ago now, and he's been working full-time with me. You know, I consider that a blessing. I consider myself being able to bless him, and I just want to keep on doing things like that, and I just want to be able to be a blessing to all the customers and people that I meet. I count it a great honor to meet new people all the time on a weekly basis and just try and show my Christ-like attitude, if hopefully I'm presenting that attitude that day. It gets hard at times, but I want to try and be the example that God wants me to be. Thank you.
Praise God. Thank you. Hallelujah. Let's give glory to glory. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. We'd like to have our Sister Peggy Moran come, if she would. Sister Moran is the head of our ladies' prayer chain, done a tremendous work for God. She teaches Bible studies, mentors folks, and she has a miracle to talk to you about.
Well, I'm here to declare the works of the Lord. I want to take you through the steps that I had to go through when I was first diagnosed with cancer, so you know what I was facing and what I had to do to overcome all the negative voices, and how God systematically brought me to where I am today. On June 11th, 2008, I went to the doctor with a lump under my arm, which turned out not to be cancer, but in the meantime, they found that I had breast cancer, and that was June 21st when they told me that I had cancer. And I was sent to a surgeon, and he performed 3 different surgeries on me. And every time I would go back for a follow-up visit, the news was worse than the time before. It had went from just being the best kind of cancer I could have to a spreading cancer, and it just, the news was always bad. And he wanted me to take chemotherapy, and I refused. I said, that's not even an option. Then he sent me to a radiologist, but he also wanted me to take drugs for 5 years. And the downside to that was that after 5 years, it could cause cancer in another part of your body. And I said, why would I want to do that? And he said, because, and this was their pat answer every time I'd ask questions that they really couldn't answer, was that the benefits outweigh the risks. And I said, well, not to me, they don't. So then after I went to the oncologist next, and he brought out a graft, and he showed me what my chances of survival were and how many people out of 100 that had died with cancer. And it's like, I was just beside myself when I left there, and I was so depressed. And I couldn't even wrap my head around it. And so I called a friend for prayer. And then I knew I wasn't going to take radiation, but I went to meet with the radiologist anyway. And when I got there, he told me that that I needed to take the treatments, and that he would call me in 3 weeks with my decision. And I'm sorry, I'm hesitating here. But that was the 3 longest weeks of my life, because the whole time I'm thinking, I'm going to die. and my children are going to have to bury me. And they never gave me any hope. And so then it was 3 weeks to the day when his nurse called me and wanted to know what my decision was. And I said, I've decided to trust God. There was the longest pause on the phone. And so I got a letter in the mail after that, and I highlighted what the letter said specifically. It said, inadequately treated breast cancer eventually will result in death. I would like you to reconsider your decision. So I had this man telling me I was going to die if I didn't listen to him. And so I knew God could heal me, but the battle in my mind was, would he heal me? So I started just pouring myself into the Word of God, and when I came to the realization that he wanted to heal me, and with the support of my family, my son Matt, and my mom, and Melissa, and the church, and all the saints that had prayed for me around the world, my faith, it began to grow, and I went from fear to faith. But when I would look at what the doctors would say, I would think, oh, I'm going to die. But then once I decided to trust God and just to really believe him, I went from thinking I was going to die to thinking, I will not die. I'll live to declare the works of the Lord. So there was this ongoing battle in my mind because the devil would come to me with fear. I'd have an ache here or a pain there. And the oncologist told me that since they'd cut into me so many times, that would send the cancer racing through my body. So then I went to midwinter camp and Brother Stone King was speaking. And I was sitting fairly close to the front, and Brother Stone King, he's just a powerful man of God with a healing ministry. And I'm thinking, I felt like God, he's way up there, and I'm never going to get him to just to pray with me. And I felt like it's like the angel's going to trouble the waters, but I just can't get in. That's what I felt like, and I told that to the Lord. And while Brother Stone King was preaching, he said, so many of you people wait to come up to me after church service and get prayer for healing while you need to be reaching out to the Lord during the worship while the Lord is troubling the waters. I'm thinking, oh, so there was just this powerful move of God. And like I said, I believed God for my healing, but I was still struggling back and forth with the fear that the devil would send. And while after the prayer, after the service was ended, Sister Catherine Gore and Sister Mashanda Fisher were praying for me, and Mashanda's last words to me were, I'm believing God for your complete healing. Then I turned around, I looked up, there was this man, he was an evangelist, Brother Green, and he came with a word from the Lord to tell me, I know the Lord knew I needed to hear this because I just would go back to this, and it would just continue to give me strength so often when I would be afraid. He said, and I wrote it down right away so that I could quote it. He said that my faith had gone to the next level. It's done. Be assured, it's done. What was said is being confirmed. So that's my testimony, and I give God all the glory, and I shall not die, but live to declare the works of the Lord.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's lift up the name of the Lord. He is greatly to be praised. Hallelujah. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. Hallelujah. I believe that testimony is going to get downloaded all over the world. Praise God. Talk to your friends. Talk to the neighbors that have cancer. Talk to those people who need to hear this. Hallelujah. Sister Moran had a vision or a word from the Lord when this all was going on to say that she was going to be able to bring this worldwide testimony. How in the world would that happen other than the internet? And at the time, we did not have our sermons on the internet. Praise God. Let's lift up our hands one more time. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Psalms 23:4. Praise the name of the Lord. Yea, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff comfort me. Praise God. Did you need to say something?
Yes, I have to say that my last mammogram was normal.
Go say that on the microphone.
Okay.
I was so nervous. I forgot to tell you that the last time that I went for my mammogram, it was normal. And I think it shocked the radiologist or whatever you call her because she took so long to come back and she said, I have wonderful news. Everything's normal.
Praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'd like to have Sister Leonardson come up. Sister Leonardson is our music director, wonderful lady of God. And God has done a tremendous thing in her life. Now, you know, so many times we give precedent to the physical part of our healing. But, you know, many people struggle the whole life with some type of depression or some type of a bipolar condition or any type of thing that would keep you from really realizing your full potential in Jesus Christ. We're going to have Sister Leonardson give her testimony.
First of all, I gave a testimony years ago, I don't remember how many, about coming down to the front, and it was at altar time, and I felt like I was exactly like that woman in the Bible that touched the hem of Jesus' garment, and I felt that he turned. I literally felt like Jesus was standing there looking down at me, and I was looking up at him. And I just kept saying, Jesus, 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 my Jesus. And he did a healing work in me that night from depression. And I testified about that. But the only thing is, I allowed it to come back. I didn't really understand about how that he had given me the tools to overcome. And I allowed it to come back. I don't know if that's happened to anyone here before, that you feel like you're completely delivered of something and then you kind of let it creep back in. And that's what happened. And I didn't understand at the time. But I understand now. And has anybody seen that building, the medical facility on the west side? It says UW Transformations. Do you guys know what that's all about? It's all about if you don't like something about your body, if you have the money, if you have enough money, you can go in there and just get everything taken care of. If you don't like your nose, you can get that fixed. If you don't like, I don't know, your eyebrows, you can get them changed. If you don't like your cheekbones, you can change them. Well, I was thinking about that the other day. I drive by that building all the time, and I was thinking, I think the advertisement said something about creating a whole new you. So I was thinking about that. People can go in, and they can have all this work done, and they can look all perfect the way they've always wanted to look. But the inside is the part that's still all messed up, and it's not fixed. And so they're not ever going to be different. They can look all perfect on the outside, but the inside is what's so messed up. And that's what needs complete transformation in Romans 12. You guys all know this, Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that's what God did to me. He completely transformed me. I'm going to be transparent and say, I'm talking really fast because I know I have to sit down. I'm going to say that I was in a psychiatrist's office, and I'm going to be very transparent. I took the test. I took a bipolar test, and I answered most all of the questions with a yes. And he said, oh, my goodness. He said, we might have to go down this path and check this out and see if this might be what's going on. Well, what I'm saying is that I was completely healed and delivered. Completely healed and delivered. God has transformed my mind. I'm completely transformed. I'm completely renewed. I'm completely different. I will never be the same again. It was April 12th, 2008 that God did a complete healing in me. I am not the person I used to be. It has been amazing. Every day I wake up and I'm so excited about the day ahead because I'm like a child. I'm like a new convert is what I'm like because I did not understand what God wanted to do with me. And I know that many people even sitting here, you don't understand. You think, well, this is the way I am. This is the way my life is. And that's not true. God wants to do miracles in you, not just in heaven, but he wants you to have an amazing life right here on the earth.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And I made up my mind. I'm going to be a living sacrifice for the rest of my days. I am living my life as a living sacrifice. And I understand what that means now as well. And I love you all.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'll tell you what, this is exciting. This is exciting stuff because some of you are suffering from the same ailments, the same conditions. I want by the end of the service to have some hope inside of you where you're going to feel that God can take care of all of your need according to his riches and glory. Praise God. We'd like to have Brother Jeff Merks come if he would. Brother Jeff has, well, I guess you'd have to say he's kind of our Lazarus, one of them. He was dead on the highway on the way to Madison, Wisconsin, and God miraculously kept him alive with no brain damage, no internal damage. And so we're going to let Brother Jeff give his testimony.
I'd first like to say thank you for all the prayers and the support I got from the church body. After coming out of this ordeal, I came up with a model, and it's called Not Messing Around. So if I were to give something like this a title, I'd say Not Messing Around. You probably know, most of you know my story about dying while I was driving, my wife pulling the car over and all that. So let's just cut to the hospital. I arrived at the hospital via a helicopter. It took my wife some time to get to the hospital. And when she arrived, I had already been there. They were doing their dead level best. So I'm dead, and they're doing their dead level best. And they went to my wife, and they said, well, chances are your husband's going to die. That means dead, too. And in the process, my wife, I got the best wife ever. If anybody wanted to get some directions, just talk to her. And they said that he's going to die. Start preparing for that. My wife said, no, that won't happen. And then they insisted upon it. I don't know exactly if they said it more than once, but my wife said no each time. So then the doctor said, well, maybe we'll start here. I'm a zero percentile. And the doctor said 95% of the people that go through what I go through should die. They would just die. And my wife argued with that. So then the doctor changed his tune a little bit. He said, okay, well, the 5% that would live would be mentally or physically disabled. So I don't know if anybody would agree with me. Maybe I know John Wagner would agree with me on my quote of 1 Peter 2:9 about peculiar. But other than that, I'm mentally and physically normal. So to go with what the doctor said, you know, I'm not dead. 95% of them are dead. And the 5% would be mentally, physically disabled. And I'm not that either. But if you let me be peculiar. And then if you cut to the bottom of that verse where it says royal priesthood, chosen generation, it says call out of his darkness into his marvelous light. So I'd want to emphasize peculiar and then out of darkness, light. While I was in the hospital, I was there for 2 weeks. The first week, like maybe the third day or so, I had a friend call me. And some of you might know him. His name is Jerry Brunker. He had come to this church for quite a long time. And then he was really getting with God. He really got his life together. He lost like 100 pounds. He got married. He was really doing good. He was over at Parkway. Well, while I was in the hospital, he called me at the hospital. And again, by the grace of God, my name went out onto the World Network of Prayer. And somebody emailed Jerry about me, so he started praying, so he called me. So about the second week, I found out that he'd called, and then that second week I also found out that he died. So when he called me, he was alive, wishing me well, saying that he was praying for me. When I found out about it, I found out he had a heart attack and he died. So, you know, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. I'm just glad I was the one that received the giveth. I am self-employed. Most of you know that. I would say if you give God time, he'll always use whatever left over a lot better. And to say that I'm blessed, I couldn't describe how blessed I really am. But for example, we just had our church camp. And before the last 4 years of being in business, I went all week long. And I was at every service. I was proud of that. Probably a little too proud. But I was proud of that fact. Well, since I've been in business for myself, I hadn't gone but maybe to one or two services in 4 years, or 3 years, 3 years time span. And then this past year, I went for the first time all week long. I didn't miss any services. I got there early. I was getting with the program. Remember, I had no messing around. So in the process of having this happen, I mean, I took a week off of work. So that means I had 3 months, or three weeks to do a month's worth of work. And would you believe, in those 3 weeks, I had my best month ever? So as of now, I've been in business like almost four years. But this month of July, in 3 weeks span of time, God blessed me with the best month ever. And I think it's because I went to church camp. I don't know what else to say. I know time is short here, and I just appreciate all you and thank you all for the prayers. And I would give anybody here permission to tell me that I'm messing around if you catch me messing around.
Praise God. Praise God. I have to tell one funny story. I happened to be up in the ICU when the nurse had weaned him off of the drugs he was on. And she said, "What day is it?" He didn't know. And she asked him a few other questions. He was still kind of coming out of that. She said, "Do you know what's your name?" He said, "Absolutely. Jeff Merkus, the world-famous race car driver." And I thought that was a cool, subconscious answer. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. We love Brother Jeff. You know, something that sometimes we overlook, and I know some people somewhat get annoyed with our one-call system, but I can tell you there's two men here tonight that I don't think probably would be here had it not been for within minutes after the incident. We were able, first of all, to get Brother Yuselman on the phone, Brother Grant did, and he found him within minutes of where Jeff was laying on the highway. By the time they took Jeff off the highway, there was Brother Yuselman waiting for him at the heliport. So Brother Yuselman laid hands on him and prayed right there at the Beaver Dam Hospital. In the interim, Brother Roy got a call and put out a one call. So we had hundreds of people instantly talking to the Lord about Jeff. So praise God. So if you get a one call, don't ignore it, because trust me, you might be the next one that gets on the... Praise God, praise God, praise God. We'd like to have Sister Jeanette Thunder come at this time. Jeanette has been a long, long time member of Calvary Gospel Church, been in the Sunday School department for many, many years. She has a degree in teaching from the University of Wisconsin, does know some Hebrew, a wonderful lady of the Lord. We'd like to have Jeanette give her testimony.
Praise the Lord. I'm going to tell you about how the Lord brought me to Him. That's a miracle. And then how He healed my broken heart. When I was 17, I went off to India to find the meaning of life. My dad had died when I was 15. My family kind of unraveled. And I went to alternative high school, and I was really exposed to a lot of new ideas that were floating around about, you know, who God was, cosmic consciousness, and so on. And I was in a yoga class, decided to go to India. I was there for 4 years, just trying to find out who God was, and going further and further away from my upbringing. I was raised Episcopalian, and it wasn't very alive. We never read the Bible, didn't talk about being born again, and I just kind of gave up on it. And this other stuff was so exciting. After being in India for 4 years, I came back home and looked for other groups to be involved with that were New Age. And some of the things about New Age groups is, you think that you're equal with God, that you're a co-creator with God, reincarnation. I looked at Christianity as really stupid. I might talk about God, but I wasn't talking about God. I was talking about the universal God that was in all of us and so on. If I heard anyone say Jesus, it just practically made my skin crawl. And I was so mean when people at work would talk about who were Christians or would talk about God. And, you know, if you looked at me from the outside, you'd think, wow, she's awful. I think you all know people. I've heard people laughing about people they work with who are into all these weird things. Well, that was me. But you know what? I was really hungry. I was truly, truly hungry. But I didn't know about Jesus. I didn't know the truth. So I tried a few different groups, and I eventually went to a weekend conference on the UW campus. It was a Native American group reaching out to mostly non-Native people to come and to learn about them. That really appealed to me. People like me in the New Age sort of thought, oh, they're close to the earth, and that's okay. And I don't know, it just appealed to me. So I went, and I got really involved for about 3 or 4 years with that group. We did sweat lodges and vision quests. And I still was really looking, really hungry for God. But through all of that, I can just tell you how empty I felt. I felt oftentimes like I was just little piece of dust in the universe. that was just being blown around. And as much as I wanted to know what the meaning of life was, that's really how I felt. But the miracle is that God knew I wouldn't come in with a Christian inviting me, giving me a track. Never. I would have just laughed at them and been really mean. But God loved me, and he found a way to get me to him. So he set up everything. And many people in this group I belong to, we had a leader of our group was in the Madison area, and we went out to Gays Mills, Wisconsin. Some people had a land out there, and we had built kind of a camp. And then every so often, his brother from Kansas, the medicine man, would come up and lead the sweat lodges and lead the vision quests every summer. But something happened along the way. It's a long, convoluted story. He turned back to Christianity. Apparently, he had been a Christian at one point who had gone back to his traditional beliefs. And so when he came for one summer in 1985, he came instead to talk about the Bible and God. And it was my turn to go down my week at the Valley, and I was appalled when I found out what he was talking about. I just really was. I was horrified. But then in me, I thought, okay, I respect him. I like him. He's pretty cool. Okay, I will listen to what he has to say. So we went down for our week, and he didn't teach about being born again. He didn't teach Acts 2:38, but he did teach about the Holy Ghost, kind of. I never heard anyone speak in tongues. I didn't really get what it was, but he said we could receive the Holy Ghost. And so one night we were all sitting in a circle having a little service, and somebody was playing the guitar and singing a song, and he talked about healing, and somebody came up to get healed, and he laid his hands on them. He said, this is what in the Bible they did. And when he prayed, literally we were sitting in a circle, the power of God just, I didn't know it was the power of God, but this amazing power just swept around the circle, and I was just like, filled up. It just, and I just began to speak in tongues. And I mean, and I didn't know what it was, but it was just, it, I couldn't stop. I was speaking in tongues and speaking in tongues. But at that moment, I knew this is what kept going through my mind. I've come home. Like all that searching and all that looking, I knew that this was it. And in my mind, because if you're into New Age stuff, you never arrive at truth. There's always more truth to be had. So you're always searching for the greater truth. But I knew in my mind, I knew that went through my head, and I said, I don't care. If there's more to be had, I want this. And many other people in the group got the Holy Ghost. And then I just started laughing and laughing and laughing. And it was just so amazing. The next day, the head of all this said, if you're from Madison and you've received the Holy Ghost, go to this church here. It was on Milwaukee Street then. And so there I went with my East Indian name, Sundarani. I was very liberal politically with my values. I wouldn't have come near you folks if you paid me the way I was. But what got me there was this amazing infilling of the Holy Ghost, and it was so real. So I went, and it was a cultural shock. You know, I just was on the fringes of everything, and but I went, and I was just this thirsty ground, just soaking it up every chance I could get. So that's how God got me. And if you know anyone in your life who you look at and they're involved with crazy stuff, and you kind of laugh, and oh my goodness, don't you never know what God is orchestrating. Of all of us, there are about 10 of us who got the Holy Ghost. I think there's a couple I've lost touch with who are still living for God. But God saw each of us and in his way put it all together, you know, piece by piece. And there we were at the right time to receive his word. Whether we wanted to follow him or not, then that was up to us. Then I want to tell you quickly about healing of the broken heart. I had grown up with a dad who was alcoholic, and there were so many issues because of that. And I went off when I was 17. I was still such a kid and got exposed to all these crazy ideas. And it's like the devil has a plan for us, and he has a script, and he replicates it. And for me, living without God, it was like this was replicated with every bad relationship, every negative interaction with somebody, all the things I got involved with. It just was, I was pretty crushed in my spirit. And I didn't know it. And I didn't trust anybody. and the things I reached out to for help never did it. All the things I was involved with. When I remember at Milwaukee Street, my first service, I went to the front, and I had the Holy Ghost, and I'd been baptized in Jesus' name. But I just was at the altar and crying and crying. And I know people didn't understand why I was crying, but it was because it was like the reality of God. I never felt anyone there for me, and God was there for me. And I think every service for months, I would go and cry and cry and cry. And it was like I was in the Holy Ghost hospital. And I can't tell you how it happened, but over time, God healed my broken heart. I found the scripture, God heals the brokenhearted. I found the scripture that says he gives us beauty for ashes. I found the scripture that said he gives us joy, the oil of joy for mourning like grieving. And I clung to those. And over time, I worked at the Ovens of Brittany, and he blessed me with promotions and jobs, but that's how I learned to fight the spiritual battles and prayer, because there were so many odd things happening there. And it got to the point where he laid upon me to go to college, and I hadn't ever been to college, and I got in. And just through all that process, like, he remade me from the inside, because I was truly crushed. I didn't think I was worth anything, didn't think I could do anything. And here I stand today, and I'm a teacher in a public school, in a middle school here in Madison, and I'm just excited for what God has. And I was awfully lonely, and then 2 years ago, my husband and I got married. So, yeah. So you can't ever think that you're too hopeless or it's too hard or no one can help you, because I'm here to tell you, he can and he will.
Praise God. Is this church? Amen. Is this church? Hallelujah. They've said more in the last 25 minutes than 28 preachers could say. This is testifying of the miraculous power, confirming that power that will change your destiny. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. We'd like to have Larry Smith come. Larry has been a member of Calvary Gospel Church for, 4 years? 2 years. And last November, he received a very damaging report from his doctor.
Hi. First, I'd like to say that, you know, God's healed me of a lot of different things. I was a drug addict for 25 years. Hardcore, everything from marijuana to LSD. And, you know, a friend of mine brought me into this church, and God healed me the first day I was here. I came in the first day I was here, I got the Holy Ghost. About 2 weeks later, I was baptized, and I've been here ever since. So there's my first healing. Then I was reunited with the mother of my two children, my two youngest kids. We had been apart for 5 or 6 years. Turns out that she's ill, couldn't work. Her and the kids were in an apartment. They weren't making it. I didn't have a job. I was just coming off of, you know, recovering, being a drug addict. Started praying to God for work. Couldn't find it. I was at McDonald's. I was at Hardee's. I was at service stations. I was everywhere. In January 2009, I went and applied for a job out in Sun Prairie, and I got a job. It didn't pay much, but it was a job. It was a start. So I kept praying to God, because he says that he'll take care of it if you just have faith. So I kept praying, and I kept praying, and kept praying. And in August of that year, my boss came to me and offered me a different position that came with a $6 an hour raise. So I went from almost zero to having six more dollars. All this time, I know that, you know, the devil was at my door every minute. There wasn't one thing that I could do that couldn't turn me the opposite way of where I was at the time. In November, I found out that I had lung cancer. It wasn't operable, and it was growing really fast. It grew from the size of a pea to the size of a silver dollar in 2 months. I started thinking about my kids, the two that I was reunited with my ex, and my two oldest kids. I hadn't seen them in 8 years. Hadn't talked to them, hadn't seen them, don't know where they are. So I started praying on that. A month and a half later, I found them. They lived in the forest all this time. I got with them the next weekend, was introduced to my grandson I'd never met, was 3 years old. Was fantastic. Didn't know anything about it. I see him just about every weekend now. As for my cancer, last January, went into the doctors. They wanted to do some more testing and look to see what was going on. Told me that it wasn't growing anymore. It was just kind of sitting there. So they wanted me to go through chemo, try some radiation. I told them no. Wasn't going to do it. God was going to take me and put me where he wanted me to be. Whether it was up, down, middle, wherever, I was willing to go wherever he deemed me necessary to be. In August of this year, went back to the doctor because they wanted to see if it was still growing and everything else. And the doctor came in and he looked at me and he says, well, we've got to do some more testing. And I said, well, why? What's wrong? And he said, well, from what I can see, he says, nothing's wrong. We've got to look again.
All right.
So we did some more testing. Lo and behold, there was nothing there. It was gone. So for all of this, I have only God to thank for all he did for me and my family. And believe it or not, he did all this in 2 years. It makes me believe that God will do for you or anyone like he did for me. And who knows what he's going to do tomorrow.
Praise God. I think we need to worship the Lord for a moment here. Glory. Thank you, Lord. Let God be the glory. I did a little research on the internet, and it said no statistics are available for the exact number of cardiac arrest events that occur each year. It is estimated that more than 95% of cardiac arrest victims die before reaching the hospital. 95%. Whew. In cities where defibrillation is provided within 5 to 7 minutes, then there's a 30% chance of survival. But they went on to say that you may survive, but a person will be suffering from psychological and neurological damage, including amnesia, hallucinations, and or muscle spasms. I introduce to you another miracle, Brother Ben Thompson. Praise God.
Brother Thomas told me he wanted me to say everything that God's done to me in 5 minutes. I can't do that in 5 hours, but I'm going to try and give you the real quick cliff notes. The frustrating thing with this, and I've actually been working it, when I was still laying on the ground, I started working on my next sermon. The problem with it is, 2 weeks later, I still don't really know what happened. The more I find out that I don't really, nobody knows what happened. In fact, nobody knows what happened. But at the same time, I see God's hands wrapped around the whole situation. In fact, I was sitting up here beginning a service as we're kind of moving up here, we're kind of service getting going. God spoke to me about something I just read this last week. A little article about U.S. military policy. When the U.S. military goes into a situation, they like to go in with overwhelming force. Popular term a couple years ago, I think it was invasion of Iraq, shock and awe. Remember that? I have been the victim of shock and awe. September 11th, isn't that ironic? I was playing kind of a touch football game. You know, guys go, we get a little more physical than that. But the flag football with the young guys, being old enough to be their dad, I felt a little more, I got to prove myself or whatever. I don't think I was embarrassing myself, but I was starting to get a little gassed. Next thing I know, I'm waking up and, why are these guys pushing on my chest? I wish they'd get off. That hurts. When I finally woke up, paramedics told me my heart had been stopped for 15 to 20 minutes. This is where it kind of goes. I don't really know what happened. Paramedics said 15 to 20 minutes. I've heard someone say they thought I was out, Jason and Peter did CPR or chest compressions for 12 to 15 minutes. Roy made a phone call when I went down to start the prayer chain. Made another phone call when I woke up and went back in the call log. It was 24 minutes. Now, I'm not really sure how long I was out. But remember, maybe I'll ask God when I get to heaven. But the fact of the matter, if you look at the whole, first of all, part of the shock and awe, God's overwhelming force in my life. 20 minutes, if you were without a heartbeat, spontaneous heartbeat for 20 minutes, you have a 0% chance of recovery, from what I've read. So even if by the time the paramedics got there, got set up, I should be gone. I also read that for every 1 minute that you receive CPR, your chances of brain damage increase 10%. So you get over 10 minutes, your odds of having brain damage are, you got 100%, you're going to have something wrong. Now, I had a lot wrong to begin with, and it's hard to kill a rock, I guess. I don't know. But I remember laying there, they're asking me all these dumb questions. Can you tell me your name? Yeah, Benjamin Brian Thompson. They kind of look at each other. Where do you live? 801 Goldfinch Lane, Mars, Wisconsin, 53559. They kind of look at each other. Do you know where you are right now? So I'm in a park in some prairie. I don't remember the name of the park, but I'm here playing a flag football tournament with our college ministry. They kind of look at each other. They go, you know what the date is? Yeah, it's September 11th, 2010. They kind of look at each other. Do you know what time it is? I'm like, well, the football tournament started about 10 o'clock. We played one game, two 20-minute halves. We're in the second half of this game, so I'm going to guess it's somewhere around 2, 3 o'clock. We're going to have a watch. I don't really know. They kind of look at each other. Because every time I got moved to a different hospital, they asked me the same dumb questions. And they all put on another round of stickers and rip more hair off. We won't even go there. I think I'm going to get a tattoo that just says, if ever it happens again, just shave it off before you start. I don't want to go through it. But amen.
Preach it.
But when you think about what happened, not only should I not be alive or not even have some brain damage, but when I went down, I'm a competitive guy. That's just who I am. That's just kind of the way I do everything. And I'm that way at work. I work out at home. I have a pretty decent gym set up in my basement. Same thing. I could have been pushing myself on a football field. I could have been pushing myself in my basement underneath a few hundred pounds of weights when my heart stopped. And they wouldn't have found me until my wife or kids came down to tell me dinner was ready. I could have been riding my bike down some country road, 20, 30 miles an hour, bounced down the highway. I'm a little competitive. I mean, my wife and I rode our bike out to Roy's, the 16-mile round trip for me, because I kind of go back and forth, wait for everybody else. Coming back into town, I thought it would be just cool to see if I could actually get a speeding ticket on my bicycle. Okay, all your kids, put your fingers in your ear right now. You want to hear this. I came down Main Street Marshall, 28 miles an hour in a 25-mile-an-hour zone. After having 15 miles on already, just to prove that I could do it. That's just kind of the way I am, I guess. But when I went down in front of a group of Christians. First of all, a Madison police officer who I understand has done, not only has been trained, but has done it and is experienced in doing it, as well as another gentleman, Peter Sannon, who has been trained. I understand there was a nurse walking her dog who stopped by who, I have no idea. For all I know, she may have been an angel, unawares. Maybe not. I don't know. It's kind of shocking. All that. I got more questions than I have answers right now, to be honest with you. I'm just happy to be alive. I only went down with two guys who knew who to CPR, but Blake George, a man who knows how to get a hold of God, I found out just the other day was actually at my head, holding my head and praying the whole time. Well, there were a whole bunch of football prayers around me, as well as people all over Dane County seeking God. Let's give God a hand clap. Let's give yourself a hand clap. Hallelujah. The other thing about the shock and awe is they have no idea what happened. About 20 minutes before I went down, I took a real good shot in the head, right in the forehead. Opened up my nose like turning on a faucet. Somebody's like, you break your nose? I'm like, no, I didn't even get hit in the nose. I don't know what this is all about. I went over, laid down, got a stop, rolled up some paper towel, stuck it up there, jumped up. Girls don't understand. It's a guy thing. Jumped back up. Ah, I feel good. Jogged around a little bit. I went back in. When I got to the hospital, they did two CAT scans. Found nothing wrong. They did find my brain. I asked them specifically. They said there was a brain in there, but nothing was wrong with it. They thought maybe they did an echocardiogram. It was normal. So it showed my heart had a little reduced function. Did a blood test for enzymes. It was fine. Showed a small amount of specific enzyme. And with reduced heart function, is conducive with having CPR for an extended amount of time. They said, expect the heart function to come back. That's pretty normal. We're getting beat up like it did. And this guy really worked me over. They're professional. They didn't break any ribs, but it sure felt like they came close. They did a cardiac catheterization. Arteries are perfect. Arteries in my heart are perfect. They did an MRI. Everything's fine. They thought maybe it was electrical, so they checked my electrolytes when I first got there. And I was working hard. But I drank a lot of Gatorade and stuff, and I tried to take care of myself. My electrolytes were fine. They have no idea what happened. Now, maybe the thinking was it was probably an electrical malfunction. Just for whatever reason, it just shut off. Did that happen sometimes, but they don't really know. For all I know, there may have been catastrophic damage. And when God's people started praying, God made it whole. Another thing I'm going to ask God when I get to heaven. I do know that I'm laying in intensive care. The doctor, or my wife asked the doctor, said, now if you were just to look at him right now, without knowing what happened a couple days ago, if you were to look at his heart right now, what would you say? And the cardiologist said, there's nothing wrong with him. Said his heart right now, everything, all the tests we've done, his heart is fine. I'm going to get out of your way. Let me say this, little teaser for next time. I'm thankful. I'm blessed to be alive. I'm thankful to be alive. But in reality, that aspect of the miracle is kind of a moot point. Because the miracle that means most to me right now is not the miracle that God did when he healed my heart, but the miracle that God did when he healed my heart. Because for 5 years, I've struggled every day with depression. People have asked me, so do you know what happened? I mean, did you see the light at the end of the tunnel? No, but I don't think the more I pray, and I've been getting in the middle of the night just spending hours with God alone, without interruption, I don't think I ever hit the ground. Psalm 37, verses 23 and 24, it's the steps of a good man in order of the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. When I woke up, one of the first thoughts I thought, when they told me I'd been dead for 15, 20 minutes, the first thoughts I thought was, this is my new life. This is my new start.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hey, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Is this an amazing testimony or what? This is something that you need to tell your coworkers. You need to tell people to download this from our internet website. If you want to know about Calvary Gospel Church and what goes on, you may think we're crazy, and we probably are for the most part. But wouldn't you be crazy if you were raised from the dead? Wouldn't you want to dance a little bit? Wouldn't you want to shout a little bit? Wouldn't you want to say something, let God know? Praise God. Now, we have talked, and for the most part, with this exception of Sister Dykema, we've talked about the physical here. But there's also things going on in our church that are supernatural. There have been some transformation of lives that are literally unbelievable. And we're going to hear some stories here from people. And all these people that have spoken so far have had their own experience. And everybody in here has had some type of a miraculous beginning in this. The Bible says that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Praise God. We have a 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God. Have you noticed that when people are talking, everything is about God and what God has done. And all things are become new. Praise God. Who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. This church is filled with new creatures. This church is filled with a species of human beings that have been miraculously transformed. Miraculously transformed on the inside. The Bible tells us that we are given a new heart and a new spirit. Those of you that, some of you knew me before my transformation, and they can tell you for a fact that it was not good. And God delivered me from all of these crazy things. I want to just read a little bit of an article here about heroin addiction. Heroin addiction is one of the most destructive and painful addictions in the world. And heroin rehab can be a lifelong process. Anyone who's been through heroin addiction recovery knows just how devastating this drug can be. With its powerful high and tremendous capacity to build physical resistance, heroin is one of the most common risks for death by overdose.
Only one step below death on the agony scale is how painful it is to attempt cold turkey cessation on your own. You believe that? Brother Hawk, is that true? From a recovering heroin addict's perspective, one can recover from heroin by going cold turkey, but I would not recommend it going that route because it's never worked for anyone that I've known. You know what we've got around this place here? Some of the people that shine the brightest and have a wonderful testimony of how God had delivered them. Brother Dan O'Brien, if you would be so kind as to come up here and leave. And just let me tell you something about Dan O'Brien. Dan O'Brien is a soul winner. He has aspirations to become a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he has won a lot of souls here at Calvary Gospel Church. Former heroin addict.
Praise the Lord, church. When Pastor Thomas asked me to give my testimony, I was a little bit apprehensive. Not nervous, just a little bit apprehensive because about 4.5 years ago, I gave my testimony in this church. And I don't know if it was the devil or something, but I kind of felt like it changed the way that some of the people in the church acted and treated me. So I was praying about this, the Lord told me, you know, if somebody thinks something different about you because of who you were before you came to me, it's not your problem, Daniel. Somebody has to hear this tonight. Somebody needs to hear this tonight. And I'm not ashamed of my testimony. Don't think that. But there is one thing I would like to say that I am ashamed of. And I want to admit it to the church that I am ashamed that for the past 2 years I have not danced as much as I did the first 3 years that God set me free in this altar. And for that, I am ashamed. See, when I grew up, I didn't grow up in church. Didn't know anything about church. Went to a Catholic church sometimes. I thought the Holy Ghost was on my chest, you know. That thing. I started doing drugs and alcohol very, very young. I started drinking when I was 11 years old, and I started doing drugs when I was 12. I was doing acid by the 8th grade. By the time I was 16, I was already a full-blown alcoholic and into more serious drugs. When I was 16, I had a friend got murdered by getting his brain smashed in with a baseball bat. And so I turned harder to drugs, harder to alcohol, and got real bad. And by the time I was 19, was my first attempt to get myself sober. So I went to Alcoholics Anonymous and tried with everything that I had to get sober. But every time I would go to AA or NA, inpatient treatment centers, it wouldn't last. You know, I'd give it my all. I would give it my all. By the time I was 21, by the time I started doing a lot of morphine and snorting heroin by the time I was 20, but by the time I was 22, I was shooting a lot of heroin. I remember waking up in the back of the ambulance, just like Brother Ben Thompson, and they said, "Daniel, you overdosed on heroin." And I know about the sticky things in the chest. They had all those things on me. I was in the hospital overnight, and all I could think was is, do you people not understand? I can't afford this. I don't have health insurance. Get me out of here. I never asked for you guys to come pick me up. I really wanted to die, to be honest with you. You know, no matter how hard I would try, see, thank the Lord, I got my fourth drunk driving. Because if I didn't get my fourth drunk driving, I would have not been put in jail for 9 months, and I would have died from heroin overdose because I couldn't keep a needle out of my arm. And so I went to jail for 9 months, and I knew that heroin was going to kill me. So when I got out, I didn't do heroin, but I couldn't keep a needle out of my arm, so I started shooting cocaine and crystal meth. And church, I would remember days where I had been up for 4 days shooting crystal meth and heroin and cocaine, and I would look at my arms, and they would be, my veins would be busted out. I didn't have a place to shoot anymore because there's no veins left. And I cried, Jesus, 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 what am I going to do? AA doesn't work. Jail doesn't work. Treatment centers don't work. I'm going to die. So I started to take out my Bible and read it. And I started to cry. Because I realized that I was living a lifestyle that I had sinned against God greatly. You know, I've just given you a brief overview. There's many things that happened in my life that were not so great. And for once, instead of going to a man-made program or a man-made treatment center, I cried out to Jesus with my whole heart. And then that day, that glorious day came. May 15th, 2005. I was crying out to the Lord, and he put these people in my life. He orchestrated the situation. I don't have enough time to give it fully. But I knocked on Chris Zimmerman's door to sell him a Kirby vacuum cleaner. See, at one time I was the number one Kirby vacuum cleaner salesman in the world. Okay. I would sell a bunch of Kirbys and then go shoot a bunch of dope and then go sell more Kirbys and shoot a bunch of dope. It was right when I was crying out with my whole heart and seeking him with my whole heart. And Chris said, would you like to come to church? I said, yeah, I want to come to church. I've been reading the Bible. Came here, right down there, after service. And I just started praying. And I started speaking in tongues. And I got baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of my sins. Glory, hallelujah. And he set me free. Set me free. Two weeks later, my best friend that I grew up with my whole life, was close to him, very close, died of a heroin overdose. Well, that could have been me. A million times. And, you know, before I gave this testimony, I was down, right down there praying. And I guess I think the Lord wanted me to end with this. The heroin and all the rest of that stuff was just the lion and the bear. That was just the lion and the bear. The giant's coming. And the same God that delivered me out of the hand of that lion and that bear is going to give me the head of the uncircumcised Philistine.
Praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. Let's give God the glory. I praise you, Lord. I worship you. I worship you. I worship you. Hallelujah. Praise God. You understand what a miracle this is? This is like the Red Sea parting, and the 3 million Israelites come walking across the dry land. These testimonies, my friend, these are real people, real incident. Wow. Praise God. What a wonderful God we serve. Praise God. We have another young lady here, Christina Vega, that has got an amazing testimony. And since Christina has been a member of Calvary Gospel Church and actively pursuing a ministry of knocking on doors and inviting people to church, she has personally won 12 people to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay. God is good. God has been so good to me, but it didn't start off easy. The devil's a liar, and he is a deceiver, and he will use your own weaknesses. I have learned that. It's not, he doesn't create this new lie. He uses your own weaknesses against you. So if you're insecure, he will use your insecurity against you. So if you're doubting that you're good enough, well, he's going to just keep reminding you that you're not good enough. And when I was getting ready to come back to church, the devil's just, God's not going to use you. You've done way too much. There's people in there that, have been going to church and never gave up, kept going, never stopped. And why would he use you? And I just kept dwelling in that. But then the Lord, he was just like, keep trying. And I was like, okay. I started going to Evangelical Life Center. And, there's no place like home. So I was like, but I kept going. So I was like, I wasn't ready to come back here. And the devil just tried so hard. And I never realized like, that God is good, and no matter what you've done, and no matter what you will do, if you just give it to him, he will use you. I'm pretty sure in situations where we want to be healed and there's things that we're going through, the devil's like, oh, God's not going to heal you. That was for him. That wasn't for you. Or God's going to save you. That's for them, not for you. He works good at that. And if you just keep going and you'd be like, you're a liar, I'm going to run. I'm running to Jesus. That's probably most of the time while I was running up here. I'm like, oh no, my God is good. Don't give up. I have come a long way. I was kind of raised in and out of church, and I have done a lot of things thinking the world was going to end soon, so I might as well just go out with a bang. So I sold drugs for pretty much 10 years of my life. Money was kind of my love. I never really did drugs. I never really did anything else but sell drugs, and if I'm going to do anything good, I'm going to do it the best. So I sold a lot of drugs. I went to prison, and most of you guys don't know that, and I really don't, share that with everybody. But even when I was there, God was just like, he used me there. And I was just like, I don't even want to be bothered, talking about God and telling people about God. But there'd be times I'd be laying on my bed, and he'd be like, get up, pray with her. And I'd be like, here we go. So he wouldn't leave me alone, so I'd get up, and I'd pray with him, and he'd get the Holy Ghost. And I'd like, oh, go back to my bed and go to sleep. And it was just always like that. I always knew I was going to give my life back to God. I think God just wanted me to know that I had to get some things out the way. I had to get it out my system. And I say this, and God is good. And you know what? If there is something that you're going through and you are tired of it, let me tell you, God is waiting for you. If you are needing a healing, and you just haven't claimed it, because we can pray for things. We need to claim it and just do a victory dance. Do your victory dance. If you're wanting to be used by God and the devil's been using, you're not good enough, it's not for you, let me tell you, he will use you and he will use you in a great and mighty way. God is good. Do not give up. If there is something that you need, come and get it. If there's something that you want, come and get it. Do not let the devil trick you, because he is a liar and he will slow you down. God is good. And if he can use me, let me tell you, he can use anybody. So, glory to my Jesus.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God, sister. Adriana Martell. Praise God. Sister Adriana, we love you. She was a little bit nervous that she'd go over 40 minutes, but...
I am a little bit nervous, but I'm going to use this opportunity to speak from my heart. I was going to write something, and I can't do that. So I guess the first thing I want to say is that I'm often asked why I smile and why I'm laughing all the time and why I'm able to be free. And, you know, who needs reasons when you have Jesus? What reason could I possibly give besides Jesus? So I'm going to be short and sweet, but from the age of 15, I experimented with drugs, and I used it as an escape because of a lot of things that were going on in my life. I had a brother die, grew up in a really dysfunctional home, and I used drugs, continued to use drugs. By the age that I was 20, I was shooting heroin, and that was it. Heroin was it. I couldn't keep a needle out of my arm, and the crazy thing about it was that when I was a child, for about 2 years, my mom was devoted to the Lord. And she taught me about Jesus, and I never forgot it. I never forgot it, because even one moment with the Lord, you'll never forget that peace. It always walks with you. It follows you. And the worst thing about drug use for me was that I knew in my heart and in my soul that I could never get peace or love or truth without God. And I was going against what I truly believed in my heart. What's worse than lying to yourself? So it wasn't that I didn't believe, but I didn't have the courage or the strength. And I would pray, Lord, show me how dark this is. Show me the darkness so that I may, you know, I may have courage to get out of it. And after about 5 years of being a heroin addict, I sold heroin to somebody who died. And when that happened, I remember, you know, I had cried out to God for years, but I wasn't serious, you know. I cried out when I was sick, you know, when I couldn't get a fix, and I wasn't serious, even though I knew that's what I needed. And the one time that I said it out loud, I said, Lord, if you deliver me, I will serve you, because I know that you're the truth, and I can feel it in my heart, and it's all that I know. I know you. And that was it. I turned myself into rehab on my birthday, the day before my birthday, and I said, Lord, I'm going to celebrate my life and not my death. And Daniel, actually, he picked me up for church. And I remember so many times I was looking for a church, and I would go to churches, and I needed depth. I wanted passion, you know, I wanted to feel it. because I knew God was real, but I didn't find it. So I prayed for a church. I prayed for a church. I said, Lord, I want a church where the people who are above me are speaking the truth. And there is a passion and nobody is ashamed. And when you walk through those doors, there is a true kindness and people are willing to extend their hand. You know, we're always underestimating kindness and affection. And we need that as people. We need it. And I walked into these doors and the same people that extended their hands to me hold my hands now. You know? So addiction is a lie, you know? And you go to NA and you go to these meetings and it's almost as if, you know, they keep you in fear so you're stagnant, not knowing that they might be, I mean, stuck by the devil as well. So you never claim your healing. You're always thinking that you have a disease and this is the way that life is and that's it. And it's a lie. Amen. It's a lie. Like I said, that day when I got on my knees and said, Lord God, if you deliver me, I'll serve you. I meant it from my heart. And that's it. That's it. So thank you.
Try to keep a dry eye in this place tonight. Good luck. Isn't it wonderful that we serve a God who just loves us so much? I mean, he doesn't care about what you've done or how many times you've failed and how many things are going on in your life that's negative. He looks just for a spark, just a little something he could get his foot in the heart of your door. Just show him some sign of wanting to change. That's what repentance is all about, is change. Praise God, praise God. Well, I'd like to ask Noah Strand to come up, if he would. Noah Strand has more energy than any 28 human beings that I've ever met, particularly between 5 in the morning and 9. Two cups of
then
coffee.
Then I take a big nap. Hey, everybody. I'm Noah. Got a little bit of energy tonight. There's energy here. Amen? Amen. Woo! Hallelujah! Praise God. Power. I'm into horsepower, big motors, old cars and stuff. Holy Ghost power is in here tonight. Amen. Bigger than any motor. Praise God. Daniel had 4 DUIs. I got 6. This is sign language for 6. Somebody special taught me that. Anyway, I got 6 DUIs, some in cars. I got one on a scooter, some in trucks. You can ask my mom. I used to drive my lawnmower drunk down the road to Taco Bell. But, amen. The one that would change my life forever, I got in a boat. Noah got a DUI in a boat and changed his life forever. God's got a sense of humor. I was addicted to cocaine. And I would do just about anything for it. I sold one of them hot rod motors. It was a Corvette motor, really nice motor. Sold that just to get some drugs. God is good, and he has a plan. He has a plan for all of us. And he began to deal with me. I went to jail for that DUI. And God started putting people in my path. Brother James Hawk, I love that guy. I was at Oak Hill, and I went into the AODA program. And, you know, I was seeking God, and I knew that I couldn't succeed on my own. But I started seeking God, and, man, he delivered me. One Friday morning after class, I went up into my prison cell and grabbed my Bible and said a prayer, and I started reading. I looked up, and I started praying again. God filled me with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. In my prison cell. Drugs, alcohol, crazy relationships, addictions, all kinds of craziness. Man, the only permanent address I had was my mom's, but I seemed to never stay there. I had to be going off doing crazy stuff. And God is doing signs and wonders today, right now, in this place. He's going to do it tonight, this altar. I believe it. Hallelujah. Do you believe it? Amen. If he can do it to me and all these people, if he can raise the dead, how much more can he do to somebody who's willing to come up here tonight at this altar and give your life to God? Claim that victory in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise God. I love all you guys. God is real. And he cares about the little stuff, too. Anybody? He cares about the little stuff. It's the people say, don't sweat the small stuff. It's the little stuff. It's the little stuff that matters. The little stuff. I love you guys.
Seem like I have something vested in this young man. I love Noah Strand. He is a wonderful young man. See, the way I look at this whole process is this. If God accepts any one of these people, or you or me, as a son or daughter or brother, I can't look at what Noah used to be. I can't look at what, if that was the case, nobody could look at me because I had every problem these people, I mean, I could go into some things that I've done that I couldn't even, I don't even think about them because they're so horrible. But you know what? God, with all of his love and all of his compassion, he moved on each one of these people here. Isn't that something? Some that needed healing, he was there for the healing. Some that needed deliverance, he was there for that. Some of you are in financial, if you think that he can raise someone from the dead, you think that your financial problems are a problem for God? You think your emotional problem, there's nothing too difficult for God. Nothing at all. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The Bible says that seeing we are encompassed with such a cloud of witnesses, a cloud of witnesses. You know, it's been a long time since we've done a testimony service, but when God began to deal with me, it was very difficult. I wanted to bring Tim Powell up. In fact, I'm going to bring Tim Powell up. Tim Powell is a miracle. Come on up here. Everybody knows Tim Powell, but not everybody knows Tim Powell. And the transformation in his life is remarkable. It's amazing. And we love him and we love his family. And when I say brief testimony, this is probably going to, if you have to leave before 10, no, I'm just teasing. Brother Tim, would you leave a brief testimony?
God is good.
Yes.
I want my brother to stand. I want my wife to stand. Brother Thomas gave me accolades, and the church has given me accolades. I want Brother Roy to stand. I want Brother Rivas, his wife, to stand. You may look at some of these people, I could keep calling out names, but at some of the most integral times of my life, greater people than I will ever be invested in me. You may be seated. Thank you. My brother requested that this church pray for me about 10 years ago in February when I was in a hospital attempting to take my life. He prayed. This church prayed for me. I showed up here with my hair dyed bleached blonde with a goatee and a necklace and thinking I was as tough as Noah. Thinking I was as big as Brother Hawk. But no, what it was, faithful people. It wasn't me. It was faithful people. My wife. A retired missionary's wife went to my wife and said, Sister Kayla, have you committed a standard of holiness to God by never taking a razor to your hair? Yes, I have. Yes, I have. And this was when we were divorced and I was living in sin. She said, honey, you go home and you lay that uncut hair across your husband's pillow and you give it to God. And she did. And that's just one of many things that landed me in front of you tonight. It wasn't me. I had no power of my own. I was bent on destroying myself. But it was faithful people of God. It was the great testimony, like many that sit in here tonight, that say, I never did it. I got a son that's 13 years old. He's never touched drugs. He's standing in the corner shouting. I've got four beautiful children. I got three lovely daughters, Cecily, Brittany, Leander, stand up. James, stand up. When I said, I don't want God or anything to do with this, they stayed with God. And when I came back to God, I sat each and every one of them down individually, and I had to ask their forgiveness. Forgive me. And they did. They had bigger hearts than me. They had a closer walk with God than their own father. Of course, I have said that my children were more mature than me when they were 10. And that holds true. But even my son, he was 3 years old, I had to ask his forgiveness. God made it right. God made it right. And now here they are, standing in front of you, singing praises to God. It's not because of me. Nothing I did. It's faithfulness. Faithfulness to God. And it's the faithful people in this church that have helped all of these testimonies. It's the faithful people of God that have helped. I am so thankful to this church. I am so thankful to Brother Thomas. Everyone in this church that has held me up. I am nothing. But guess what? When I was nothing, God said, there's something I got for you. That's why these men in our CIP program, I love to get them. I love to get a hold of them. They know it. I love to get a hold of them. I give them a piece of my mind. You know why? Most of them are tougher than me, but I don't care because the truth is tougher than all of them. Right? I don't mind getting in your face. I don't mind getting in anybody's face. I ain't scared of you. Why? Because I got truth behind me. I got righteousness behind me. God is with me. Ain't nothing you can do to me. I already died. I died at the cross and Jesus gave me a new life. There's nothing you can do to mess with that.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I love you, Lord. I praise you, God. I worship you, I worship you, I worship you. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I praise you, Lord. I worship you. I lift up your holy name. You are still a Calvary Gospel Church, confirming your word with signs and wonders. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. The evidence, my friends, is overwhelming. I said the evidence is overwhelming. God is in Calvary Gospel Church. He is confirming His holy word in the name of Jesus Christ. He is confirming His word. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. We've got one thing left to do here. Praise God. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Acts 4:29.
And I felt impressed of the Holy Ghost to pray this as a prayer, collectively as a prayer. Okay, this is not just reading the scripture. We're going to pray this prayer. I want all the people that had a testimony to come up here and face those folks. We're going to ask you to spread out. So move that lectern away before one of these young preachers grab it, and they'll be here for hours. Praise God. See, I think God really wants to do something miraculous here tonight. He's already done something miraculous for me. And I believe that this is going to be a miraculous international marvel when people understand that the God of creation, the God who comes to Calvary Gospel Church three times a week, is here. And if you want deliverance, you can receive deliverance in Jesus' name. Okay, we're going to read this together. Acts 4:29, 30, and 31. And then we're going to pray this. We're going to pray this prayer, particularly Acts 4:30, Acts 4:29. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word by stretching forth thine hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. The threatenings, my friend, are the voices that you hear in your mind to threaten you, to intimidate you from giving your heart to God, to believe that God can't do something for you tonight. Tonight is your night. Let's pray that again. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants with all boldness that they may speak thy word by stretching forth thine hand to heal, that signs and wonders be done by the name of the holy child Jesus. Lift up your hands and let's let God come forth. Hallelujah. That's it. Let's give him glory. I said, let's give him glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Stretch forth thine hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. There is deliverance in the house tonight. There is deliverance from a broken heart, disappointments that have held you back, sickness in your body, sickness in your mind, diseases, addictions to substances. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God. We are going to have the choir begin to sing. And I'm just believing tonight that there's people in this building that have heard these testimonies that God spoke to you. How do you know he spoke to you? Because you felt something bend inside of you. The Bible says in the book of Acts that they were pricked in their heart. That means basically that, hey, something's going on here, and I need it, whatever it is. I don't understand it, but I believe it. I said, I believe it. I believe it. So we'd like to open this altar up right now. As the choir begins to sing, come on, would you come down and have the Lord Jesus Christ do it to you?